Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study, Saints. God bless you and keep you. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for being in our midst and blessing us today, giving us wisdom and discernment concerning the falling away. We thank you, Lord, that we have been delivered out of the power of darkness and we have faith in the Son who set us free. And Lord, we put our trust in you, Lord. Give us wisdom today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start concerning the escaping of the falling away in Hebrews 10 and 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Well, this is confusing to some because they've heard of the prosperity gospel and they don't think you're supposed to go through any sufferings, but suffering the loss of your old life in order to have your new life is just a fulfillment of our baptism, as I've spoken of. It's a necessity. If you don't lose your life, you don't gain your life, Jesus said. And he's talking about losing the lower life for the higher life, obviously. The carnal life for the spiritual life. It's a conflict. And it's one that everyone goes through. And it's a necessity. Partly being made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. Well, that's true because when you turn to Christ, you have a new spirit. And the world has the old spirit. You're contrary to them. They discern it. They know you're different. They don't feel comfortable around people who are different, so they persecute you, right? And partly becoming partakers with them that were so used, because, of course, we need to suffer with God's people, whatever it costs, you know, to stand beside them. For you both had compassion on them that were in bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions. Yep, sometimes you get plundered, but it's no big deal. Our Lord will supply your every need according to his riches and glory. No matter what they steal from you, it makes no difference. And that's part of the crucifixion even. You know, they may just be stealing your ego or stealing your money or whatever, you know. It's all part of it. And we need to take it joyfully because we have this awesome gift given to us from God that everybody doesn't have. And we just praise him for it. Whatever you go through in this little short, dinky life, to be in that life is worth it. You are privileged. And we should be thankful to God every moment. Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Yes, an eternal one. Cast not away, therefore, your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. Boldness, yes. The devil wants to take away our boldness. He'll put condemnation on you. He'll put fear on you. He'll do anything to take away your boldness and your faith. Because there's nothing he can do with that. You see. So don't cast it away. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at anybody else. Don't cast it away. Endure the trial of your faith patiently. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Yes, indeed. Endure in faith to the end. Those are the ones Jesus said would be saved. For yet a little while, he that cometh shall come and shall not tarry. Well, I can tell you one thing about this. It's talking about the coming of the Lord in your life. Not just in the air. He's coming in your life. Be patient. Endure the trials. Keep your eye on the gold. Claim it as yours. Behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Because obviously what we're proving is who are the true believers, right? The true believers, those that were from the foundation of the world, will be manifested, and they will endure the trial joyfully, because of what's being given to them. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. The saving of the soul is Him coming in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The saving, if you want to see what salvation is, look at Jesus. That is what saved is. And He is coming in you, spirit, and then soul, and then body. He's coming in you. Take joyfully this. And 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, try your own selves, whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Well, it's true. I mean, how do you apply the faith that's been given unto us? First of all, you must stay in the Scriptures to renew your mind, because you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is what gives you faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. But are you applying the faith that the Lord gave you to the situations in your life? That's one reason you study the Scriptures. You see how people applied the promises of the Word. The Christians have such authority in God that's hardly been tapped. You know, Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them, received them, and you shall have them. And so, are you walking by faith to receive everything that God has provided for you? Do it. Study the Word. Don't be an idolater. Don't let anything get in your way. Don't let anything be more important. And it goes on to say, "Or know ye not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you be reprobate." See, you do have what you need. You've been given the Spirit of Christ so that you can have the soul of Christ, the mind, the will, and the emotions of Christ. His power is there. And especially if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, as they were in the book of Acts. His power is there. Believe it. Look in the mirror and see Jesus. Remember, you're not living anymore. Jesus lives in you. That's what the good confession that came out of Paul's mouth was. And when you confess that, you have power. Don't let the devil talk you in to his power, because he's got none if you exercise yours. And we don't want to be reprobate. That means rejected. Adokimos, right? Rejected. 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 says, "For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud and all baptized through the sea." Well, there he's applying a parable that they were to us. And he's first of all saying, it's the same thing, okay? So then he can make his point, okay? "And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Some of you have been baptized in the sea, but not in the cloud. You haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to seek God for that. You need to seek Him first and foremost for that, above all things. And believe you have received. "And did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Are you drinking of Christ? Are you drinking of the Word? He was the Word made flesh, right? Are you drinking of the Word? Partaking of His life? Because He made reconciliation, He gave His life for yours. It's yours now. Keep confessing it. Keep thanking God for it. Keep applying it. You have authority. You are not helpless anymore. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. "Howbeit, with most of them, God was not well pleased." And I have to say, it's the same situation today. You know, he's trying to show you this parable that is a repetition of history here. "For they were overthrown in the wilderness." And, of course, we have already studied the parable of the sower, how that 3 out of 4 are overthrown. And we're looking at the principles that will keep us from falling away. "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Yes, they got distracted. They were the chosen people. The promises were multitudes, and they didn't appreciate it. And they got their eyes on the problems instead of on the promises, and they fell away. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Yeah, you can sit down and you can eat and drink of the word and the life of the Lord and the water of the Lord, which is his word, and then go right back to playing, not realizing that you've been called to be a disciple. You've been called to lose your life and follow him. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. You know, there are a lot of fornicators out there among God's people, and they think they can get away with it. But no, it says they fell. And so shall you, unless you repent. Don't justify it. Don't do as a man who called me the other day. He was talking about the love of God when I talked about election and predestination and what the Word has to say about it. Oh, no, no. This is a loving God. You know what? They create a Jesus that lets them continue in their sins, but they don't know what love is. And God is not love if he permits this in his kingdom, or he permits it among his people to pollute his people. If the Bible says it's sin, it's sin. Admit it, confess it, and God will deliver you. Neither let us make trial of the Lord, as some of them made trial and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. Murmurers, they're complainers, they're whiners, they don't remember the special, wonderful thing that God has chosen them for. Even though they endure a trial of their faith, if they endure it, they will receive the promise. But murmuring is not enduring the trial of your faith. Murmuring is complaining because you're looking at the things that are instead of calling the things that be not as though they were. Instead of walking by faith and joyfully taking this suffering as a necessity to destroy the old life and bring about the new life. Now these things happened unto them by way of example. And the word example here, it means a parable or a type or a figure, right? And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So all of this failures that they went through was to exhort us not to walk in their steps. And of course, some people are doing that. They even glorify their steps. You know. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is the falling away. If you think you've arrived and you can relax in the flesh, forget it. You go from victory to victory, from glory to glory, but you got to fight the battle to do that. And some people are just resting in the flesh. Take heed lest you fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. You know, it's so true. I've made this example before. I know my dad, he smoked for 45 years, I guess. And at the time he didn't know the Lord. But a doctor told him, you know, Mr. Eels, if you keep on smoking, you're going to die. You know what he did? He quit. Now, if he can quit, you can quit. If anybody has ever been motivated in any way to quit any sin, you can do it too, because you have Jesus. This is such as man can bear. There's no temptation taking you but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which you're able. Now you may choose to give in because you're tired of hearing the devil whisper in your ear, but it's you doing that. You're able. You are able, he said. But will with the temptation make also the way of escape. Yeah, when you're being tempted, you know, you remember your baptism, you remember you don't live anymore, you can remember that you can tell the devil, no, I can't be tempted with that, because that was crucified on the cross, and I'm saved, and I'm delivered, and I'm healed, etc., etc., etc. Fight the good fight of the faith lay hold on life, right? He'll make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Yes, don't get distracted. 2 Peter 3 and 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight. Now, he wouldn't have said this if he didn't know you could do it because of what Jesus did at the cross. There are many liars out there that will distract you and tell you you can't do it because they couldn't do it, not because it can't be done. We see what the Lord is saying. Give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Yes, he is being long-suffering with you and me, and in order that we come to that point. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, wrote unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, wherein are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast rest. Now, why do they rest? Why do they twist the Word of God? They always twist the Word of God because they want to continue in their sins. So God lets them do it. But if you're going to be honest and you're going to apply the Word of God, line upon line here a little and there a little, and the sum of thy words is truth, you're not going to leave anything out. If you're going to apply it, you're going to be victorious. If you're going to twist it, you're not. There's plenty of people out there ready to help you twist it. They figured out ways to twist it so they can have the God that they want and do the things that they want. As they do also the other scriptures. Yes, they do. Unto their own destruction. Remember, when you twist the scriptures, you're doing it to destroy yourself. You therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest being carried away, or even fallen away, right? Carried away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. Yes, be careful. Fear the Lord. Fear to miss him, right? But don't fear anything else. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course we can do that because he said it. Grow in grace. Grow in God's favor. He is for us. He's not against us. He's for us as long as we are for him. He is for us. And he will continue to show us the way through the wilderness, right? To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, amen. Amen. Revelation 18 and 1. After these things I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, and has become a habitation of demons. Well, if you haven't ever seen it, you ought to be able to see it these days. The great Babylon is America. No doubt in my mind about it. Of course, there is a parable that the whole world is a Babylon. That's true. But if you take America among the nations, it is the great Babylon. It fits the picture better than anything else. And yes, it has become a habitation of demons. And a hold, or a prison, it's the same word, of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. Be careful. You know, there's many traps out there to trap you. Be careful who you listen to. Don't let anybody, just anybody, spew into your mind and your heart. Don't sit in front of a stupid tube and let it spew into your heart. You wouldn't let the devil in your living room. Don't do that. Because there are spirits in words. In Jesus' words, it was the Spirit that gave life, right? Everybody's got spirits in their words. Ready to take advantage of these temptations and these tests and these words that you're considering, which you should not, right? For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication, all the nations are fallen. Yes, That's why God's going to judge America greatly, because it has had the truth and rejected the truth. And the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness. Yes, there's so much lust in America for so many things, everything but God, right? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins. Now, this is how you come out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins. You can't geographically walk out of her. You could, but that wouldn't save you, because you're taking sin with you, right? So we have to come out of her by not fellowshipping with her sins. And that you receive not of her plagues, because just as they have received the plagues, Christians are receiving these plagues and being taken out by them. And it is because they're having fellowship with their sins. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I will be to you a father, you shall be to me sons and daughters. Amen. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Saints, if I'm sure of anything, I'm sure of this. Although God is having favor in a governmental way for us now, it is going to be a short time. And there will be judgments. There is coming judgments, especially on the apostate church who is having fellowship with Babylon's sins. Judgment is coming. It's at the door. Render unto her even as she rendereth, and double unto her the double according to her works. Well, the Lord said he would render to every man according to his works. Do you want a good future? You have to sow a good seed. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. According to her works, in the cup which she mingled, mingle unto her double. Babylon has brought destruction to the world, and by the grace of God, this Babylonish government is falling to Cyrus. Amen. And how much soever she glorified herself and waxed wanton, so much give her of torment and mourning. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and shall in no wise see mourning. Yeah, Americans believe that. They have escaped much of what the rest of the world has gone through, but it's not going to last. Therefore, in one day shall her plagues come, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. So, friends, don't unite yourself with America. It's a carnal pagan country. You have a new kingdom. Unite yourself with the saints. Fellowship with them. Don't fellowship with the sins of Babylon, or you will fall away, and the judgment will be on you. John 6 and 63. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I have spoken unto you are spirit, and they are life. Again, I say that many people have spirits in their words, if not all. And all words can be taken advantage of by evil spirits, especially deceptive words or lustful words or words that are contrary to God's will. And, you know, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And another thing we can see about that is the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Many people are manipulating the word, the letter of the word. They don't go with the spirit of the word. They don't want to be united with the word as united with Christ. And so they get deceived. And there's so many people deceiving people with the word, for goodness sake. So we have to study it for ourselves, seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And, well, there's some among us, the history just repeats, that believe not. and who it was that should betray him. Well, obviously, Judas didn't believe enough to repent and turn to the Lord. He was a thief among them. He was full of faction. He was full of rejection. He didn't believe enough to be delivered. It wasn't important enough to him to be delivered, so he sided with the wicked. And of course, there is a body in the body of Christ today that's like that. And the falling away will reveal them. And he said, "For this cause have I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it be given unto him of the Father." Amen. If you're drawn to the Father, by the Father, to the Son, you are one of the blessed ones. I'll treasure it, thank God, fear God, obey his word. And 66, "And upon this many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Well, and that was 666. They walked no more with him. And he called them disciples, but they came to a point where they weren't willing to go. And even up above this text, he speaks about eating my body and drinking my blood. And that was a stumbling block to them, but he said, no, this is a spirit word. And of course, you know, some are not willing to partake of the life of Christ, which has been offered to us. They've been called to this. That means invited to partake of all the benefits of the kingdom, but they like the benefits of the world more. And so they turn around and walk away. Jesus said, "Therefore, unto the 12, would you also go away?" Well, no, they valued him. They valued the word. They valued enough to sit and listen and desire it, right? Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did not I choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" And I got to tell you, it's the same as true today. Amongst the people of God is this devil. "Now he spake of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13 says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ." Well, I remember this guy that was leading a revival, and they propped him up on TV, and a bunch of apostles stood behind him and glorified him, you know, because he was bringing in the people and bringing in the money. He had tattoos all over him, demonic tattoos all over him that he put on him after he came to so-called know the Lord. And the very next day, the guy was caught in fornication. So it made a fool out of these people. They didn't recognize this problem, and they scattered. And it's the same today. There's many people that make themselves apostles. Anybody that makes himself as apostle is just like this text here. They're false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves. Their ego has taken them over. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, there are people who have taken every kind of name to themselves, but were not put there by God. "And no marvel, for even Satan himself fashions himself into an angel of light." Well, of course, he doesn't come with his pitchfork. He doesn't come with his red suit on and so on and so forth. He comes like an angel of light. He tries to deceive you into thinking he is God. "It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness." Now, notice this. You know, Satan's ministers are seen as ministers of righteousness, but their works deny the Lord, whose end shall be according to their works. Yes, they ultimately get caught up to, and the world recognizes them too late. But by then, people are blaming this on Christianity, bringing a bad name on Christianity. And so we shouldn't be as ignorant as the world is. We should recognize people by their works. This is how Jesus said you would know them. By their love, he said you'd know them, etc. We should be fruit inspectors. If a person is an elder, that means he's older in the Lord. That means he walks more in the steps of Jesus. Okay. Matthew 10 and 32 says, "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Confess means, of course, to speak the same as, to say what God says, to be an oracle of God, as we're commanded, you know, to say what he says, to not add to his words or take away from his words, as the last verses in the Bible warn. God will confess us if we will agree with him, agree with what he says about us, agree with the benefits he says he's given us. He will confess us before the Father. "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." He is the high priest of our confession. He is looking for an offering. The offering is our confession. If it's not a confession that is a crucifixion of the flesh and a releasing of the spiritual man and the promises of God, it's not good enough. "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Yes, he wants to divide, believe it or not. Not between the disciples, you know, as far as division for lustful purposes. That's a test, and some people fall for it, and they are separated. And that's good, because they would leaven the whole lump if they weren't separated. "For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother." It's the truth against the error. It's holiness against the lusts. Right? "And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Yes, they are from a different kingdom. And if you are not willing to give up on them and to follow the Lord, your prayers for them won't be heard by the Lord. You must first follow the Lord if you want them to be saved and delivered. Meanwhile, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. They try to talk you out of it every way they can. "And he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Amen. You must follow him. "And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." If you make an idol out of these and you serve them, you will not serve the Lord, for their spirit is not born from above. And unless you are born from above in spirit and soul, you'll be no benefit to them. The best thing to do is get out of that tribulation, follow the Lord. Don't let the chips fall where they may. If they disagree, oh well, you're following the Lord. When you follow the Lord enough that you're manifesting him in your spirit and soul, then your prayers for them will be answered. Meanwhile, they are a test. "And he that doth not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it." It's talking about your old soulish life, right? "He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." That's the self life. That's the soul life, right? "And he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Well, all right. Praise God. James 5 and 19. "My brethren, if any among you err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall cover a multitude of sins." We need to stand ready. We don't want to be quick to judge. We want to be quick to share the gospel, the good news, the mercy of God. We got We need to be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when our obedience is made full, you know. It says, let ye that are spiritual restore such a one. Don't go where you're not sent because you might fall into their same error, right? But when you convert somebody from the error of his way, you're saving a soul from death. Most people don't think, well, it's not a big deal. They're all going to be saved because they're all saved. And, you know, no. He who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Because when they get saved, their sins are forgiven and they are covered by the blood. So, Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And this is true. Some people go out to save others and they lose themselves. And that's a tragedy. And so you need to be prepared. God will send you. He's not going to send you where you're not prepared to be of a help, you know. That's why he said spiritual. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Yes, many of our brethren are burdened down with sin. They need exhortation. They need faith. They need conviction. And at the same time, they need somebody to help them along the way while they're going through this test. Do I say get mixed up with someone who's in outward immorality? No, I don't. I don't teach that at all. I don't believe in that, you know. But as much as you can exhort and lift up and give faith to someone, that's a good thing. For if any man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, this includes the first statement he gave there, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. If any man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. There are many people that do this. It's easy to think you're great unless you're going to study the scriptures with an eye to walk in the steps of the master. It's called discipleship. Because then you know what sin is. It's easy to think you're great until you find out what sin is, right? But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone and not of his neighbor. In other words, like Jesus said, get the board out of your eye so you can see clear to get the mote out of your brother's eye. How foolish. How can you give something to someone that you don't have, right? So we need, if we're going to be prepared to help the people around us, we need Jesus in us. He's the one that helps them, and he is the Word. And if we come into alignment with the Word, we'll be prepared to help them, not only with our faith, but also with the exhortations of the Word, promises of the Word, and so on. For each man shall bear his own burden, but let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Love to pass around our revelations of the word. They're exciting, and they cause people to grow up. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you're seeing is that God says you make your own future. What are we going to reap? What we have sown. Why do we have the scriptures? So that we learn that the cutting off of the flesh enables us to sow a true seed of the Word of God. So, sowing a good seed is a matter of being obedient to the Scriptures, because you walk by faith in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Yes, anything you do to build up the old man is going to cause you to reap corruption. You're making a bad future. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Build up your spirit man. Build him up with the Word of God. His food is the Word of God. It's the body and blood of Christ. That's what his food is. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of Christ is in his blood. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Some people do get weary in well. In fact, some people get offended when they do good and other people do bad and they don't agree with them or don't go along with them or don't, you know, play with them or whatever, you know. They get offended and they get angry and they give it up. Many people give up their ministry in the Lord because of that. They get offended with other people. But he said, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good towards all men. You know, expecting nothing. Don't worry about expecting anything from them. Just expect that you're doing the will of God and that he is going to reward you, even if they do not. Don't expect anything and you won't be disappointed. And especially towards them that are of the household of faith. Yes, amen. That's the people that we know that will be blessed, right? Jeremiah 3 and 12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. It reminds you of Ezekiel prophesying to the dry bones, raising up this army out of these dry bones. They were dead in their sins. Right. You know, you can also prophesy towards the backslidden, the fallen, you know. You can speak faith for them, right? Return, thou backslidden, sliding Israel, says the Lord, and I will not look in anger upon you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. Return. That's as good as repent, right? Repent, and the Lord will not be angry with you if you will repent. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. This is a big thing for some people. They are trained in hiding their iniquity among the brethren. But the Lord will not permit it. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Of course, when you reveal their iniquity, which the Holy Spirit has shown you, for instance, they get angry. Because they wanted to hide it. They don't want it to be known, so they flee, you know. Well, that's just one way that God cleans the church, especially with rejection. Rejection is like that, rejection and fear of rejection. People hide things. If they would only confess and acknowledge their iniquity, as this verse says, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. So confess your sins so the Lord can cleanse you. Right? 1 John 1:7-9. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am a husband unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion. That's the bride. This is a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is in Zion and in Jerusalem, in the bride, as John was told. You want to have the presence of the Lord. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart. If you want the truth, if you love the truth, he will do this. If you ask him to lead you to the truth because you truly desire it, he will do this until you decide you don't want any more of the truth, then you too will be gone. I will give you shepherds according to my heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, says the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Well, it was a box that represented something, the presence of the Lord in the midst of his people, in the midst of his temple. But they're not going to be seeking the box anymore because we are the temple. The ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they miss it, neither shall it be made anymore, because now the true fulfillment of the parable has come. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Jerusalem the bride is the throne of the Lord. Not Jerusalem over there in the Middle East that is fallen, mostly pagan, and otherwise people that have false teachings that they have a covenant that doesn't exist anymore, and so on. So that's not the new Jerusalem that's born from above. We are of the new Jerusalem, Paul said, right? That time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it. And yes, they are. The bride is made up of all nations. And those that will submit to the bride are made up of all nations. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Notice, what is Jerusalem? The name of the Lord. It's the nature, character, and authority of the Lord. A friend of mine was told by the Lord, I am Zion. Yes. So now you see what the prize is. It's the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. Oh, praise God. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. In other words, the body of Christ is no more divided between the Spirit-filled, which was Judah, and the non-Spirit-filled, which is Israel, who went after their golden calves, you know. And they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave for an inheritance unto your fathers. They are going to dwell on the promised land, on the promises of God. But I said, how I will put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of the nations. And I said, you shall call me my father and shall not turn away from following me. Notice, we are to call him my father. No, not the Jewish holy names. That's not in the new covenant, and that's not what Jesus spoke. And we need, what did he call him? Father, Father. We are to call him my Father. It's a more personal name than all the names that the people think are holy and necessary. Pay attention to what Jesus and his disciples did. They didn't do that. God was so fed up with the apostasy of the Jews, he wrote the New Testament in a different language. Isn't that something? So why would you go back and glorify the people that failed? Okay? Is there good things that Jews can show us? Yes, they can, but don't get caught up in their legalism because it's usually there. You shall call me my Father and shall not turn away from following me. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. This is true. And Israel is just a parable of the church. Yes. And they have totally departed from the word of God. It does not represent what happened back there, or the eternal covenant that was given back there, nor the disciples who followed Jesus, or apostles that followed Jesus, pass on to us. They pick and choose. A voice is heard upon the bare heights, the weeping and the supplications of the children of Israel, because they have perverted their way. Yes, they have, and the church has too. And they have forgotten the Lord their God. Yes, it's true. They have now found out that they like glorifying men and denominations and so on, which is a work of the flesh, according to Paul. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we are come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is the help that looketh from the hills, the tumult on the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Yes, abiding in the Lord our God is where salvation is. Don't worry about the help of man. Don't trust in the help of man. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm. You don't need any of that. You have the Savior, the Creator. But the shameful thing hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth. Their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. Yes, it has. I mean, if you are backslidden or fallen away from the original covenant and the words that were given unto us, you're just going to pass it on to your kids and they too will be trapped. Do what you need to do to return to the Lord. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Let us lie down in our shame, and let our confusion cover us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. You must find out the truth. You must pick up the Bible. I had a great advantage. I was raised in a religion that really didn't believe in studying the Bible or teaching the Bible. So when I picked up the Bible, I didn't have any background to really come against it because they didn't really teach it. It was just a lot of ceremony and fluff, you know. So when I started reading, I was just amazed. I was amazed at what I hadn't been told. And I didn't have anybody to tell me that this was no good and that was no good and this passed away and that passed away and on and on. I didn't have any of that, so I just accepted it, you know. It was a great, great advantage. And I didn't have a lot of things in me, doctrines in me that were against the Bible because my church, you know, basically they were nothing. You know, it wasn't even a church. Most people weren't born again, etc. So go and read your word. Don't pass things on to your children that are not of God, that are the traditions of men. You'll just destroy them too. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Yes, if you're going to be in the bride, it's going to be a house of sacrifice. You must sacrifice your old life to be there, but you will be the presence of God, because he dwells in the midst of Zion, and the word shall go forth from Zion. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, yes, and it shall happen. And if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Of course, there's two lands. There's the land that we dwell in that we're not really a part of. And that is, in my case, these United States. But there's this land that Hebrews 6 says is this life that we live in, this physical life that was created from the dust of the earth, right? He will give us this land. Now, mine enemies shall be open. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Yes, he hears the prayers. Esther had the ear of the king. She represented Zion, the bride. He heard her prayers. It saved God's people. For now have I chosen and hallowed this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Yes, indeed. Be one of those people in whom Jesus dwells to his fullest. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and mine ordinances, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom. He that overcometh will I give authority, the Lord says. According as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Amen. Well, I hope this little exhortation has been a blessing to you. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you teach us your ways, that you deliver us from evil, that we not stumble and be among them that are of the falling away, because we are ignorant of your word, ignorant of your benefits, ignorant of your desire to help us, ignorant of faith and the way that we receive your benefits. Lord, help us. Give us grace, Lord. Send a revival, Lord, and save multitudes who do not deserve your kindness and your goodness. We do not deserve what you're doing in this country of overthrowing a beast government that was out to destroy us before its time. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your goodness to us. We love you, Father. Help us. Draw us unto yourself. Amen. Well, thank you, saints, for joining us today. Bless you. Good night.